Please be seated.
Our first reading from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here ends the first reading.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
We stand for a reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 6. The words of Jesus: "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is our gospel reading.
Thanks be to thee, Lord.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is, Thy Kingdom Come. I memorized that. Okay, we're not doing the first petition tonight. We're doing the second petition. And that's because your pastor asked me to do the second petition. Is that I have a witness. And he will might explain it to you when he comes back. We'll see. Anyway, so we're doing Thy Kingdom Come, that petition of the Lord's Prayer tonight. And a second kind of confession, if you will, that I want to make to you is this sermon. If you brought your catechism with you, you could probably pretty much follow along this sermon right in your catechism. Let's start by doing this. On the inside cover of the purple, the second petition. Can we read that together? Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by its. But we pray in this petition, may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time. And there in eternity. The explanation starts with that. The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself, even without our prayer. We pray in this petition that it might come to us also. So we start by, in this explanation, in the catechism is determining exactly what is the kingdom of God that we're praying that it might come to us. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Okay, so this is we could sing. We're not going to. He's got the whole world in His hands. We know God is the creator of everything, ultimately the ruler of everything. We also know from Scripture that for a time, Satan is the prince of this world. But when we refer to God's kingdom, the kingdom of power, if you will, we're referring to this whole idea that the ultimate authority, the ultimate control of everything, visible and invisible, is God Himself, our Creator. We pray, Thy kingdom come. Help us understand that. Help us always remember that, that the ultimate King is none other than God Himself. In John 3:5, Jesus Himself says this, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Okay, this is another kind of kingdom, because everybody's in the kingdom of power. Everybody's in this kingdom where God rules over everything. So this is another kingdom, this kingdom where we're included by our baptisms, by being born again of water and the Spirit. We call that the kingdom of grace. That's grace, that undeserved love that God has given us. And Jesus says we're included in that kingdom by faith. And we certainly pray, thy kingdom come. Let it come to us also. We want to be part of that kingdom of grace. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to this young preacher at God's direction, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. There we go again. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we call that the kingdom of glory. So we pray, thy kingdom come. Certainly those first two kingdoms, but we're also praying, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Restore creation. Remove the sin. Bring us into your presence. Bring us into that kingdom of glory. Let your kingdom come to us. So we're praying that this God would give to us his Holy Spirit so that we might believe his word and lead godly lives. That's part of this prayer that says, thy kingdom come. Again, Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. And then he says this, repent and believe the good news. See that inclusion in that kingdom of grace that we pray that God brings to us calls for repentance. We look at our sin, then we look at his cross, and we receive that forgiveness that he's earned for us. Thy kingdom come, believe the good news. Paul writes to the church in Rome, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. To the Colossians, we read it before, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We pray that he keeps us in that kingdom, but we pray more than that. Help us, well, here, Jesus says this, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What's he about? What's he saying there? He wants us now, those of us in that kingdom, to be out spreading the good news, to be sharing in that harvest, to be bringing others into that kingdom of grace, letting him use us to bring others into that kingdom of grace. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. We pray, God, use us to extend that kingdom of grace. Peter says this one, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And we pray again to hasten that coming of the kingdom of glory, because our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And the response by us to that promise to be coming soon with that kingdom of glory is, amen, come, Lord Jesus. How can we be certain? How can we be? We look around and it doesn't look like this kingdom is flourishing in this world around us, in this nation around us, in this community around us. How can we be sure? Because of God's word and God's promise. Isaiah 55, my word will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You get that? We pray thy kingdom come. As we pray that, what if we had that, what if we structured our lives around the knowledge that what God tells us about his kingdom is absolutely true? What if we structure our lives around our knowledge that the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all? What do you want to worry about? Nothing, because the one in control, the Creator himself, has chosen you to be his people. What if our lives were structured around this knowledge that, you know, no matter what else is going on, the Creator of the universe has desired that I be part of his kingdom to such an extent that he was willing to send his son to live and die and rise again so that I could be part of that kingdom of grace. What if we structured our lives constantly looking to this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom? I'm saying that. What if we structured our lives on those beliefs? Maybe we say we do, and maybe you do, but sometimes we doubt. And we pray God's forgiveness, and he comes to us again in that kingdom of grace. Remember, grace. And he gives us that undeserved mercy. What if we structured our lives on this teaching? And the first question that comes to our mind when we make decisions about our own lives or about our family's lives or about anything that's going on over which we have control, what if our first question is, what would God have me do as a member of his kingdom, his kingdom of grace, his kingdom of glory? Jesus said it this way, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, all these things, all the things that weigh us down, they'll be added to it. They'll be taken care of. Our prayer, our text, thy kingdom come. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we continue with the offering.
ourselves to pray together verbally with the individuals. O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
have mercy on us.
O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
hear us.
O God, the Father in heaven,
have mercy on us.
O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
O God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Be gracious unto us.
Spare us.
Be gracious unto us.
Help us.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil.
The Lord.
From the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
The Lord.
By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, by thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter,
help us.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us.
We poor sinners, we beseech you
to hear us.
And to rule and govern thy holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of thy church in true knowledge, understanding of thy word, and in holiness of life, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all such as have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into thy harvest, to accompany thy word with thy spirit and grace, to raise up them that fall and to strengthen such as you stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
You receive us.
To give all nations peace and concord, to preserve our country from discord and contention, to give our nation perpetual victory over all its enemies, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, and to bless and keep our magistrates and all our people.
We beseech you.
To behold and succor all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation. To protect all who travel by land or water. To preserve all women in the peril of childbirth. To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children. To set free all who are innocently imprisoned. To defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows. We have mercy upon all men.
We seek
to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts. To give and preserve to our use the fruits of the earth and graciously give our
prayer.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we beseech you.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Christ, O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.